So we have here the Machlokes Rabbi and the Chacham. Okay, we finished Tosfos. Okay, so the question is again, if she says, leave him alone, let him. Alright, so okay, so again, so doing the question about Machlokes Rabbi and the Chacham. So if she says, leave him alone, I don't want him to kill me, so leave him, let him rape me and get over with it and don't get involved. Okay, because she's afraid. So then the question is, what happens? What happens? Do you say, okay, leave her alone? Leave her alone and just kill, and don't kill him. Leave him alone, don't kill him. Or do you say, no, kill him anyways? So the Gemara says, so what's the question? So the question is, what's the deal with killing? Why are we killing the guy for a rape? If it's because the Torah was worried about her pagam, so worried about her being raped and her being degraded, so she's going to be degraded here also. So what's the difference? Who cares what she says? But, or do you say that it's because, the whole reason is because she's giving herself to be killed. And here, she's not giving herself to be killed. So what does Rashi says? Because, doesn't mean she's giving herself to be killed, it means that she would be willing, she's really, it's a risk that here it is, he's raping her, and a lot of people, a lot of women are tsnuos, because we don't know a particular woman, a lot of people, women are tsnuos, and they're going to struggle, and they're going to fight, and they're going to end up, it's going to end up resulting in them being killed. So therefore, the Torah says, is you don't have to wait and see whether that's going to happen or not, but you could treat it as a case of death, and the pikach nefesh of him versus pikach nefesh of her. That's your skill, so you can treat it like that. And therefore you have a right to just to step in and kill him. But if that's the pshat, so then if she says, leave him alone, let him do it, so you know she's not going to do that. She's not going to fight. She's telling you she's not. So if that's the case, then you're just dealing with the pikach nefesh against pagam, and Torah isn't that concerned about pagam. So therefore you'd say, you wouldn't apply the halakha here. So I mean, it's funny. It boils down to the machlokas is: do you say that you could kill somebody in order to prevent rape? Do you say like these are on par? That rape is on par with death, right? In which case, you have the machriya where you say no, rape is rape; it's not death. And the only reason rape is could even count is because rape will involve death. Therefore, it's really death and death. Right? I mean, it sounds like a fact. That's what it boils down to. It's a funny kind of question. And turns out it's a funny kind of machlokas. I guess rape on par with Pekach Nefesh or not. Right? Death. Death is death. Right, I mean, it serves a bit smoother. First of all, death is death. You understand? Death is death. Pekach Nefesh is death, and death is death. And that's when the whole thing, Rodef, it's all right. It's all Rodef. Rodef, you're running after someone to kill them, or to rape them, which in turn involves killing them. It's interesting, you don't tell the Tznuos to not do that, you know? Like, are they chayiv to do that? It doesn't seem like you're obligated to do that. You just parkle and you let it happen. But, like, they're gonna. That's a fact. They're gonna do that. That's their nature. And now it's like a given. And therefore, it's like a case of killing. It's interesting, right? But whatever. But that's, but it seems like, right, it's simpler. I mean, well, and just conceptually, I know we haven't really addressed this so directly, but it's funny to say that, it's always this problem, is that rape is on par with death. And it's funny, it's like as long as it's not a machlokas, you can just say, well, that's the given. But now it's like a machlokas, you kind of have to defend it a little bit stronger. To the chase, right? Make it as halachi. Okay. So we're just saying is that there's two things in death, okay, in killing. Because the starting point is that you're allowed to kill a rodef, to prevent the death of the near death. Now, the thing is, there's two, the death of the near death apparently is what allows it, to saving the near death. What I'm saying is that, what's so bad about the near death dying? What's the crime? What's involved? What is it about the death of the near death which allows us to get involved and to kill the rodef to prevent it? What I'm saying is there's two things in murder, two aspects of the crime of murder. One is you could call it like a crime against the victim, and the crime against the victim, like Ben Adam Achavera, the crime against the victim is that you're depriving him of opportunities for future opportunities of growth. Okay, and that's the idea, is you're shortening his life. Life is a good, it's an opportunity for a person to grow. And you're here by killing him, you're shortening that, you're harming that ability. Right, destroying the human potential. So that's one framework of the crime of death. But another framework of the crime of death is like a, you could call it Ben Adam Lel Makom, to know God, is that God created a Tzen Elokim, it's a certain good in the universe or whatever, God wants man to exist, and you're playing God, so to speak. You're just cutting out a Tzen Elokim. This is supposed to exist, and you make it not exist. Right? You're running the world. So those are two different aspects of the crime of killing. What I'm saying is that which one is allowing you to step up and to basically prevent? Because of which aspect is that you're allowing to step up? And I don't know if I'd call it between God. I'd say is that you're destroying the world. It's only Kim in the world. It's only Kim should exist, and it doesn't exist. Is it that you're stopping a person from existing, or is it that you're taking away his potential opportunities? I mean, they're both vis-a-vis the Tzonel Hakim. It's not because of the Avera itself, but it's because the aspect of the Avera that you're taking away this guy's opportunities for perfection, or is it that you're taking away a Tzonel Hakim from existing? Right. Okay, good. Okay, so we're saying those are two aspects of death. Now, in the framework of killing, of removing a Tzonel Hakim from existence, so rape has nothing to do with that. Rape is, look, it's unfortunate, it's painful, it's a degradation, but whatever, they still exist. But in the framework of death, killing as taking away a person's opportunities for perfection, then you could interpret, say, rape is really could cause a major trauma and long-term destruction, you know, harm to her, degradation to her whole life, and it could really undermine her ability to grow. So I say, it's like, if you learn that the premise, if your premise is that the idea of death is because of the removal of opportunities, and then there's exerts the cost of rape, that you could do kill the roadie for rape, you say, oh, so it must be showing you that the same idea extends to rape as well. That's exerts the cost of, even though it's not as bad, but the exerts the cost of showing you that that's in the same ballpark. It extends it to rape. But if your premise is that death is because you're killing, because you're removing him from existence, and in order to prevent removing the guy from existence, you have a right to step in, so then how could you understand rape? Rape has nothing to do with that. So you say, oh, it must be that rape also, go looking in rape for removing existence. You'll say, oh, because Tzenua, certain women are going to fight and give up their lives. So therefore, since that's the case, so therefore that's also a case of death. But it's based upon your premise about what's the platform, the given case of, the sense of road that makes sense by killing. The question is, how do you interpret it by rape? Well, I guess what's the sense by killing? Is the sense of killing based upon the crime to the person and his opportunities, or is it based upon the removal of the life? So depending on your framework, you're going to understand the din by rape differently, and the nafmin is going to be by a woman who says, I'm not going to fight to the death. So if she's saying that, now it's only pigam and it doesn't have a death, so that's going to, if you say it's because of pigam, then it'll still apply. If you say it's because of the death, then here there is no death. That's what the Gemara asks. So then the Gemara asks, he says, if you're going to tell me it's because of the begam, the fact that it's going to affect their perfection, so he says, then in any rape, right, or at least in the lav also, it's going to affect her. Mm-hmm. And here she's involved in Avera and this type of begam because she's been involved in this in the lav of what's Elman
Kohen Gadol. The lav, or is it the...
Not just because. It seems to be, as the Prophet understands, it's not just the stigma of being raped, the experience they get over. It seems to be it's based upon the fact that the social stigma, because she's involved in an Avera, which will destroy her. And in which case, the Gemara says, so then this also has that, because she's only involved in Avera. So the Gemara answers, no, there's a difference, different levels. Because like a Kares, his mom's there, and she's a Zona, and by love, it's not that. And that's what it's teaching you. The Pasuk is teaching you the quantities within that. Right, telling you how to draw the line. But what about according to the other position? According to the other position who held that it's because of the fact that she's willing to fight and she's going to... So why is the Gemara only asking on the Gemara only asks on the sheet that holds that it's because of the degradation. It doesn't ask on the sheet that it's because she's going to fight. Right, that's what Rashi makes a point of saying. The Gemara is only asking. It says, if you're telling me that it's because of the degradation, the begam, so then how do you differentiate between arayos and between lavim? But it does not ask according to the shita who holds that it's because of killing, because she's going to fight back. And the Gemara answers, no, because it's a different level of begam. So yes, so then, but isn't that how you're going to have to explain the case of the killing also? So why is the Gemara, Rashi makes a point that the Gemara is only asking on that one position? And the question is, I mean, I think you have to say, this doesn't answer the problem, but you have to say that the Gemara knows that the woman, because it's more degrading, a woman is not going to give her life for that. I mean, snus are going to give their life, but they're not going to give life for anything. They give their life because they don't want to be involved in arayas. They're not going to give their life for just a standard rape. I mean, that's, if not, otherwise, if the whole thing is because they can give their life, then it doesn't make any sense. It must be going to say that that's the Gemara that they want to understand. They're only going to give their life for this, not going to give their life for that. But if that's the case, then what's the Gemara? Why is this? Then you're going to have to. That's the only way to explain the line according to that Shita. So why is the Gemara having such a hard time explaining the line according to other Shita? Because if the Gemara knew that these are different psychologically, then they knew they're different. And that it's different, that's why they're going to, one woman's going to fight, another one's not going to fight. So then that's why it's different in terms of Pagan. This one was going to fight, and one's not going to fight. Like, why is the Gemara only picking on one of the guys? I mean, it seems you have to say that. You can't say that a woman, really all women are going to fight, and all women are going to give up their life. But we just said anyways. If the whole sense to the Pagan is because they're going to fight, and we're protecting their life, and how could it be that it's going to be one going to fight? Now, you could question that psychologically, but I'm just saying, I don't think it's worthwhile. That's what you have to say. That's the premise, and that's like you, that a woman's not going to fight for that. But if that's the premise, then what's the Gemara so upset about? Why the Gemara must have, the fact the Gemara's not asking on the Rav Yehuda, it must be understood that. So then why is it asking on the Rabbanan? Isn't it the same thing? Okay, so I think that's what you mean. So Chaim's saying that of course, if you say the idea is because she's gonna die, she's going to end up dying, so then obviously that's only going to apply where she's going to end up dying. I mean, it means they're telling you when a guy is chasing a woman to rape her, rape slash kill her, right? So then the halakha applies. So if you're going to show me a case of rape where she's not going to fight and she's not going to give up her life, then she's not rape slash killer, then it's just rape, and then of course the halakha doesn't apply. That's the Gemara knows that psychological fact, and the Gemara knows that of course it's only going to apply in the cases where it's a danger. But if you're telling me that it's not because of the killing, but it's because of the pagam, that is saying is the pagam of rape is such that it destroys our life, whatever, and it's on par with death, so pagam is pagam. So is the pagam of rape on par with death, or is it not? So now you're going to have to do, the answer is going to have to say is that within the concept of pagam, there's halachically levels. Whereas pagam is, the halacha recognized the phenomenon of pagam. Now, you have to posit that within that halachic institution, there's a halachic recognition of gradations. That's not just saying, of course, psychologically there are gradations. And if your framework is, will she psychologically fight or not, of course there you have to recognize gradations. But now you're telling me that pagam isn't just a psychological thing, but it's a halachically recognized phenomenon, and pagam is on par with death. So the Torah is recognizing a halachic institution of pagam and is saying it's on par with death. So now, pagam is pagam, the Gemara is saying. So there isn't a no. That's the saying. Pagam, the Gemara answer is no. A pagam meruba, right? A pigma rabba kapi rahman. A big pagam and a small pagam. So now you're showing that within the halachic institution there are gradations. Not everything which psychologically has gradations does halacha recognize all these gradations. You should say, look, halacha recognizes the qualitative thing, and look, a lot of things have quantities, but halacha just recognizes in a wholesale manner. So saying is that you're forced to say it. That's what we're showing is you could say it, but it's an additional step to say that within the halacha, it's like another weakness, so to speak, in the chacham, that if it's because of pagam, you have to be positing that not only is the Torah recognizing this thing of pagam as on par with death, you have to say that it's positing halachic, different halachic levels of pagam. And recognizing the psychological levels. That's already it's a further move. That's what you're saying, Chaim, right? Yeah. Good. Good, right? Okay, so what we have left here is we still didn't explain that Rashi. Rashi says this thing is that if it's because of the fact that she's going to give her life, snows will give their life, so in order not to be raped, and therefore the Torah says, save her dam and his dam. Her blood and his blood. What does that mean? That just doesn't mean anything. I was always pshat, we can explain that. And then we have the Yad Ramah, who learns differently. Okay, Yad Ramah learns differently. Should we read it? Okay, so let's read quickly the difference. So the Yad Ramah, when he explains the Machlokas, he says, again, this is on our Gemara. He explains it. Rav Yehuda Savar, Rav Yehuda says, "Hi, the Kamar Rachman Aliktalei." Well, the Torah, why does the Torah say to kill the killer? The Rodef Hechad Deka Arka Mikamei. Okay, if she's by rape, why is it Torah allows you to kill her if she's running away? V'kamasra Nafsha Liktala. When does the Torah say that you could kill him? When she's running away and she would be willing to give her life, Kadesh Lotibalo, in order so as not to be raped, Amra Torah, Hoel Vihimo Seris Antma Lamot Kadesh Lotifgam, since she is giving herself to be raped, I'm sorry, to be killed, in order so that she's not degraded, Matzilin Oso, Afilin Oso, you could save her even at his death. But here, when she's not so concerned about her degradation, because she's not willing to give herself to be, to be killed, then the Torah isn't so concerned about her. So he's like, the fact that she's willing to give up her life, the fact that women are willing to give up their life, so therefore the Torah is so concerned about their pagam. And therefore, the Torah is going to say, to protect their pagam, you could kill him. But if she's saying, I'm not willing to give up my life, now the Torah is not so concerned about her pagam. It's not because she's not going to die or she is going to die. Rashi's saying is because she'll die. The Rambam isn't saying because we're worried that she will die. We're saying the fact that she's willing to give up her life, and that we assume women will be willing to give up her life, therefore, the Torah is very concerned about their pagam, and it says you could even kill the guy to protect their pagam. But if a woman tells you she's not... she doesn't care about it that much. She's not willing to give up her life for her pagam. Don't worry, lad, leave him alone because I'm afraid of dying. So then the Torah's not going to protect her as much. The Torah doesn't care as much about her pagam. And the Chachamim are going to say, no, either way we're concerned about the pagam. Right? The Torah's concerned about pagam. And what? Right, something like that. Right? We have to get the Svara, but something like that.